our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, O richly multiplied from God the Father, and from Christ Jesus the Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together Psalter 421, the stanzas 1 and 5. 421, the stanzas 1 and 5. O God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place! How good and pleasant is thy dwelling! My thirsty soul longs earnestly, yea, faints thy holy courts to see. Mid festal throngs and music swelling, my heart and flesh cry out to God. To him I spread my hands abroad. 1 and 5 of 421. From Scripture, we wish to read from the prophecies of Isaiah and thereof chapter 58. Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye had pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? And thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath day a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it thus afar. And next, let us read from the Canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine of divine predestination, the articles 1 through 4. The Canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine, the first 4 articles. As all men have sinned in Adam, lie under the curse, and are deserving of eternal death, God would have done no injustice by leaving them all to perish and delivering them over to condemnation on account of sin. According to the words of the apostle, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 3 verse 19 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Article 2. But in this the love of God was manifested, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. 1 John 4 verse 9. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 verse 16. Article 3. And that men may be brought to believe, God mercifully sends the messengers of these most joyful tidings to whom he will, and at what time he pleaseth, by whose ministry men are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Romans 10, the verses 14 and 15. Article 4. The wrath of God abideth upon those who believe not this gospel, but such as receive it and embrace Jesus the Savior by a true and living faith, are by him delivered from the wrath of God and from destruction, and have the gift of eternal life conferred upon them. Thus far. Let us now try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing this afternoon hour. O eternal, most sovereign, glorious God in the heavens and upon the earth, Thou art almighty, Thou art all-knowing, Thou art everywhere present, and Thou art all-sufficient. Righteous and holy art Thou. O, wilt Thou be pleased in this afternoon hour to humble us deeply before Thy countenance? It has pleased Thee to bring us together in this day, at this hour, in Thy house, around Thy word and testimony, for that holy purpose that a sinful man shall be ordained to a holy office. O Lord, then we ask of Thee that Thou wilt look down upon our brother, whom Thou hast called not only from death to life, but also called unto this sacred task to proclaim Thy gospel and administer Thy holy ordinances. Our Lord, may we then be given true humility and a deep sense of our unworthiness, that Thou hast still dealings with the sons of men, that Thou hast been pleased to have dealings also with the congregations at large, that Thou hast been pleased also to have dealings with this congregation. Lord, all things are known to Thee. There is no right. They have no merit. No claim or worthiness can be brought forth by any one of us. But it has pleased Thee. It is Thy sovereign will, O God. Oh, and that becomes the hope, the expectation, the sure foundation of a people that deserve to be cast away forever, that have sinned all away and continue to do so day after day. But Lord, Thou hast yet separated one. And now this afternoon, then Thou wilt also consecrate him into Thy holy service. We lay him before Thee, Lord. Oh, before he has served in the office also here, but now it is that office of shepherd and teacher. Oh, that is an impossibility, even as the apostle exclaimed, who is sufficient for these things. But on the other hand, Lord, Thou didst call, Thou didst qualify, Thou didst send. Oh, and therefore we beg of Thee, faithful God and Master of all Thy servants, anoint him with fresh oil today, but each time that he proclaims Thy word, that otherwise he performs the labors of a shepherd and a teacher in this flock and beyond. Oh, Lord, and every time it is through the impossibility. But every time in that way of a wonder, every time that Thou wilt draw him to Thy blessed feet, Lord, what is the message? Wilt Thou declare it? Give light, give wisdom, give faithfulness. Lord, may he then be helped time and again. And may he experience that Thou art faithful and that Thou shalt also do it time and again for unworthy, undeserving servants. But grant him then also, Lord, that holy liberty to come and say, O Master dear, wilt Thou guide and help? Wilt Thou supply? Wilt Thou yet bless Thine own word and work? Wilt Thou remember also his wife in these special circumstances? Oh, that she may be a help meet unto her husband also in this way. Grant her also to be blessed by the labors of her husband, who is then also her minister. Ah, Lord, what greater bond canst Thou give between husband and wife, that they also may be or become brother and sister? Remember also the other family, the aged parents across the ocean, the parents-in-law who are present, family here and family overseas. Oh, be pleased to remember each and every one. And even though it may be difficult to understand, that there may be a few words, that there may be some meditation, that there may be a blessing, for Thee nothing is too wonderful. Remember the congregation. Lord, it is not the first time that they receive a servant at Thy hand, but it is the first time that one is ordained in their midst, and one who is out of their midst. Lord, Thou hast dealings with this flock. And Lord, we need not tell Thee anything, for Thou knowest. But oh, what a wonder and reason for joy and hope that Thou didst call and prepare him to serve in their midst. Oh, may it be yet for an eternal blessing. Convert sinners, young and old. Make enemies into friends. Uncover hypocrites. And cause those that have too much that it may all be taken away, and that Thy people may receive blessings. Oh, blessings to be emptied, to lose strength, to become poor, to become needy, to become barren and unfruitful, deserving to be cast away. But, O Lord, and Thou shalt also gird him with strength and give him to do what Thou didst say unto the prophet, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her iniquity is pardoned, that her warfare is accomplished, that she hath received double of the Lord for all her sins. O, wilt thou then give exercises in that only mediator, that only way to be reconciled unto thee, O Father, and that by the Spirit they may have testimony in their hearts. Remember the brother ministers. Lord, one shall be added unto that number. May it be in thy favor. May there be that brotherly love to seek that doctrine according to godliness, to meet one another at the throne of grace. Remember, Lord, the consistory. Grant that they may stand around their new minister to be, that they may be often upon their knees, that they may strengthen his hands, that they may also desire to be led by his guidance, and that thou wilt take care of them all. And Lord, that also among those brothers there may be grace given for the first time, or grace by renewal. Lord, thou knowest how it was in the past. Grant yet that they may receive thy favor upon this all. Be with young and old, great and small, friends near and far, also overseas, the other congregations. Gladden us, Lord. Bless the school. Thou knowest what is needed. Help thy servant also to help and guide and pray for that endeavor. We remember also, Lord, a former minister of whom we heard that he had surgery and needs further surgery. Lord, bless him according to the body. Bless him especially in what he needs for his soul. Remember also the other brother instructor. Strengthen him. And Lord, the future is unknown to us. But whereas there is no student at the present time, we lay it before thee, O God. Send forth in thy favor also new ones that may be instructed to be sent forth into the vineyard, that there may be fishers of men also coming yet in the days and years to come. Lord, there is much to ask, and we are forgetful creatures, but remember thy Zion here and across the ocean. Remember the brothers that have come from far, also from among across the ocean. May it be a blessing for them likewise. Have regard unto those that rule us. Convert them and bring them at thy feet. Lord, give us in this afternoon a message from thee, fresh oil. Thou knowest, Lord, all things. Thou art good. Thy mercy is everlasting, and thy truth endureth to all generations. O Savior of Zion, blessed Master, Holy Spirit, remember us in mercy, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us now sing together Psalter 349, the stanzas 1 through 4. And my heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground. Within thy gates, thou city grand and fair. Meanwhile, one collection will be taken. And lest I forget, let me announce that after the service, between the services, there is a light supper for the guests and those that come from afar. Psalter 349, 1 through 4. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with mine eye upon thee, my counsel make thee know. What a blessed portion this is for God's children and God's servants. In and of themselves they are so often blind, dark, foolish, wayward, and so contrary. However, they are for the Lord's account, and therefore He shall take care of them. He said it to David in Psalm 32, I will instruct thee and guide thee in the way that thou shalt go. How does the Lord do this? How does He accomplish this in the life of His people? I will guide thee with mine eye. So when the Lord beholds His people, it shows His care, His love, His guidance, and His direction. And thus, the Lord promises unto His children that He will make known unto them His counsel. His eye looks upon them. Do you know that eye looking upon you? And again, how does the Lord now instruct? How does He teach? And how does He guide? Isaiah said, I will lead the blind by a way that know not, and in paths that ye have not known. So that is step by step. Is that now safe? Or is that now dangerous? Whenever the Lord leads us, it is so very safe. For as long as the Lord holds our hand, we cannot falter. As long as the Lord goes before us and brings us in that way after Him, then we cannot go wrong. The children of Israel received a pillar of the cloud and a pillar of fire. And see, whenever the Lord then makes known His counsel, this becomes the practice for God's children. Denying self, taking up the cross, and following in His ways. Oh, is there not the Lord faithful? Does not His mercy endure forever? I will instruct thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with my counsel. And brother, have you not experienced this in your life? Has not that blessed promise of the Lord been fulfilled in every step of the way? He has called. He has set aside. He has also in the past years qualified. And now, what is it that you need? Not only to be guided until this moment, but to be led and guided day after day, and week after week. For every Lord's Day, the pulpit beckons. The congregation shall wait. God's children desire instruction and need nourishment. And then time and again, Lord, what is the message? And how must I bring it? Wilt thou show me, teach me, and wilt thou guide me? And then it is graciously that the Lord will guide with his counsel and with his eye. And he is faithful, and he will do it. It was also unexpected for us that the Lord guided us to the text that we hope with the Lord's Spirit to declare in your midst this afternoon. You can find those words in Isaiah 58, verse 12. Isaiah 58, verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. That is now a suitable word from a surprising God. A suitable word from a surprising God. First, a promise for the congregation. And secondly, a task for restoration. A suitable word from a surprising God. A promise for the congregation. And also a task for restoration. To whom now does Isaiah speak in our text? And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Who is now privileged to receive such a gracious, undeserved promise? Well, we read it in the beginning. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. For Isaiah had to preach in his days to the people of Jerusalem, and that diminishing kingdom of Judah. It was a time of great ungodliness, increasing worldliness. It was a dark and a difficult time. Much idolatry was found, much iniquity was practiced by the people. And see, then we have read already from that verse first what the task was of Isaiah. But now these sins and these transgressions are further declared, because in verse 2 we read, they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching unto God. So by all accounts, the people were very religious. And the outward appearance was that they were all serving the Lord. But congregation, then the truth of the matter becomes manifest. For when those people say, wherefore have we fasted and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul and they take us no knowledge? They began to blame the Lord as if he was forsaken, as if he was correcting, as if he was rebuking them. And then the Lord speaks, "Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and ye exact all your labors." And he continues to uncover unto that people that their religion was not heart religion, but it was hypocrisy. It was a feigned religion. It was on the outside, and in their soul it was altogether missing. Ah, congregation. And then Isaiah speaks as God's mouth. "Is this such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" So the Lord searches them. And so is the preaching of the prophet, of God's true servants. It will search us if it is true in our heart or not. The Lord says, "It's not this the fast that I have chosen." And then he mentions that we have to break with sin, that we have to repent and turn unto God, to take care of the needy, to walk in the way of God's precepts. And then, verse 8, we read, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward." Then, when the Lord's Spirit begins to work, there shall come an entire change. Then the religion is not on the outside, but it proceeds from the inside. Ah, congregation, that is a wonder, is it not? Then, at that moment of God's good pleasure, when the wind of the Spirit begins to blow, and we know not whence it cometh nor whither it goeth, We can hear the sound thereof, but we do not know those workings of the Spirit. But then the Lord begins to do wonders inside. "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am." Then true prayer is learned. Then that spirit of grace and supplication begins to fill the heart. And it begins to be evident, like Saul in Damascus. "Behold, he prayeth." Then the Spirit breathes into the soul. And the soul breathes out unto the Lord. "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer," congregation. Oh, and then those fruits become manifest. That is very clear. Oh, and then congregation, may we dare not say, does not the prophet then declare how the Lord commonly does this? "When he shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." See, then the Lord says, "How shall I now do this? Then I have my servants. Then I have my servants. I call them. I anoint them. And I will send them forth." And now the text declares that work of such a servant. We read it. "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places." And they that shall be of thee. So from among you, children of Judah, also from among your posterity, from among your children and grandchildren, shall come forth those people that shall be builders of those old waste places. Ah, congregation, then it is a wonder, is it not, what we may observe this afternoon. For that word of thee receives light from above, also today. For of thee there is now a servant called, sent, and qualified. The Lord led him already across the ocean. That was 14 years ago. He served a while in your midst as elder. He was instructed by the Lord. And now he shall be ordained. He shall be of thee. He is from among you, and he shall preach the gospel. But some will say, is it not written in the Bible that a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, save in his own city? Yes, that is written. And that happened to Christ. For he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was cast out of the synagogue of Nazareth. He was not desired in Jerusalem, and he ended up being crucified on Golgotha. And still the Lord Jesus had to come. And did he not come? And was he not faithful? Was he not anointed with the Spirit without measure to do the will of his heavenly Father and to accomplish all the task that was laid upon him? But it even happened in the days before Christ. For when Isaiah had to foretell the children of Israel of their captivity that was coming, that the judgments of the Lord were coming and they were righteous, then he also prophesied of the return from the captivity. And then from among that little remnant, we see an Ezra, a Nehemiah. There were also the prophets, Haggai, Zechariah. There was later a Malachi. There was Joshua the high priest. There was also that governor, the son of Shealtiel. Oh, then the Lord from among the Jews to whom Isaiah was prophesying was going to fulfill this word. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Congregation, then we must say something. See then that you do not reject the servant that the Lord has taken from among you and now gives you back again as a shepherd and a teacher. For now he must bear you upon his heart. And I believe it God's grace he shall, and he already has. He shall bring you into the inner chamber. He shall bring you before the Lord's countenance. But what shall you do as congregation? Shall you also bow your knees? Shall you also implore God's grace that he may receive from the Holy Spirit what he must proclaim in your midst, that he shall declare the riddles of a people that do not know how they must be converted anymore? He shall be as God's mouth unto you. He comes here not as one who was a carpenter, not to despise that the Lord Jesus had that same trade also for a while. But he comes here as a servant in the name of the Almighty God. Must they then not say instead, wondrous are God's doings, which his hand have brought? And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. What was now the task of these builders? Well, they have to find those old waste places first of all. And that was not difficult. Because in prophecy, Isaiah beheld Jerusalem in ruins, and the gates broken down, and the temple burned down, and there were no altars. They were cast down. What was left? Waste places. They were waste places, it says, old waste places. They had been lying waste there for so many years already. And even the land around Jerusalem lay waste, was not tilled, was not plowed. There were thorns and there were thistles. And so indeed, old waste places. But what does that now mean? How must that now be declared? Congregation, old waste places tells us that there was a time that these places were not waste. For Jerusalem was the city of David. He conquered it from the Jebusites. And then he also built that city. And he set aside that hill of Zion. And later on also, his son Solomon built there the temple. Oh, then indeed, it was called the city of the great king. And now in Jerusalem, especially in the temple, we see the picture of a spiritual city, a heavenly Jerusalem, of a spiritual temple also. For were not sinners converted? Were there no prophets who preached? Were there no priests who served and who sacrificed? And did not all these ceremonies then point forward to the Messiah that is going to come? And see, then, in those days, it was not an old waste place, but it was a place in which the favor of the Lord was experienced, where the blessing of the Lord was received, where the Lord worked yet with his word and with his spirit. The congregation, what was it at the time of Isaiah? And what did he behold in prophecy? What would happen to that city of Jerusalem and the temple? It would turn into a desolation. Oh, then there was religion indeed. There was form, but the power of it was missing. Congregation, there were times, there were many years that Zion in those days languished and pined away. God's children received stones for bread. There were so very few people converted. And those were times that waste places were found in Jerusalem and in the temple. And congregation, that is also in the ages since that time the case. Lethbridge, do we not know of those waste times also? Oh, there is a time also in our days that the poor sinner's life is not declared, nor a rich Christ who has come to seek and save that which was lost, nor how these two are brought together by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. That there can be much commotion, that there can be much activity, that there is much talk, but that power of godliness is missing, though a form may still be present. That vital religion is so little heard and so little practiced. Oh, that there is a people that come to God's house and they say, now my soul is not declared, and I do not know the way in which I must walk. I receive no food for my soul. Then there is a people that begin to cry unto God for help. Ah, congregation, if God's way in true conversion is not declared, if it is not preached, what is missing yet in the life of God's children, and how the Lord fulfills that, what the riches are in that only mediator, how that He has come to suffer, to bleed, and to die, how that He has come to pay the price for a people that has not a penny to pay, but only debts that reach to heaven. We say, if that is not declared, how shall we realize what we miss? Congregation, that is what a servant of God has to do. That is part of his task. He has to go to these old waste places. And then, when he goes to those old waste places, it says here, he has to build those old waste places. And we shall not repeat it, congregation. But the last year or so, the Lord has given several times that we had to be in your midst and deal with these matters. And there is a people that say, I have heard it and it has entered into my heart. And those reproofs, those rebukes are not easy to preach, congregation. But has not the Lord also given then, Psalm 86, Thou Lord art good, and ready to forgive Thou art, plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon Thy name. Has not the Lord then also smiled? Has he not also mentioned about that there are still other sheep that the Lord has, and them he also must bring in? And see, then the Lord came with this suitable, surprising message for the congregation. Undeserving is that mercy that you receive a servant. But that is now the hope for a people that learn more and more how undeserving they are and unworthy and how they sin everything away. Oh, that then, in building these old waste places, two things may happen. That those who are not yet quickened may receive life. But that also those who have received a beginning of that life may be granted further instruction, a growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot enlarge it all, you realize that. Your minister hopes to do that. I'm sure of that. And shall that now go without opposition? Surely not. Because wherever the Lord will give, that the old waste places may be built. Well, then the Samaritans come. Then there will be Sanballats. And there will be Tobias. There will be people that will do their utmost to stop that work. And nevertheless, the Lord's work shall prevail. It is necessary, is it not? Not that man works, for our works are destruction, but that the Lord works. And the Lord has His instruments, and that He will build the old waste places. Ah, we read it. They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Congregation, shall it testify against you? Or shall be it unto your profit? It's one of the two. It's one of the two. And shall you now try to bow your knees every day and every night and say, Lord, may now the new minister's work, his preaching and his prayers be blessed for my eternal welfare? For if that shall not be the case, then we shall end up in everlasting woe. But there is hope. There is expectation. The Lord has by renewal dealings with you, congregation of Lethbridge. And what is then the task of that builder of the old waste places? We read it. Thou. So now, in prophecy, Isaiah directs himself not to the people, not to the congregation, but to the builder of those old waste places. And Isaiah mentions a threefold task, three precious matters. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. First, thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. So what must that builder, what must the new minister do? Go back to the foundations. Go back to the foundations, congregation. Or think of a city and think of the temple. What has to be done? All the rubble and all the ruin has to be taken away. We need a foundation in our life. We need, just like that man in the parable, to be founded upon that rock. And then there must be deep digging and removing of everything, all the rubbish that is of no value whatsoever. That is now the task of God's servants. Shall you expect it? And shall you not become angry when he must do so? For he must receive faithfulness and direction from the Lord. But that is where he must begin with. Raise up the foundations of many generations. Congregation, then sins must be pointed out. And iniquities must be reproved. And if you have ever dug away old rubble in order to come so low that the foundation is found or that the foundation can be laid, you have to work hard. It is difficult work, but it must be done. And we can make that plain already in the way of true conversion. For what happens now when the Lord comes in your life for the first time? Then you begin to see the ruins of your life. Then you begin to see all the rubble and all the ruin that has to be taken away. And you gladly do so. Oh, depart ye, depart ye. Then you wish to break with every sin in your life that the Lord shows unto you. Then you wish to forsake every former friend. But especially inwardly, we have to be uncovered of so much ruin, so much rubble, for that corrupt heart never improves. And all the wickedness within. Oh, and then there is something else. Because if I have constructed myself a house of conversion, if that has to be smitten into ruins and that has to be removed, then I shall hold on to every stone. Because then I want to maintain my conversion. But it is so necessary. And the Lord wins over his people for it, that all that is of man shall be put away, shall be entirely put away. What do we need? That only foundation, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, that is not building upon the apostles, not upon the prophets, but upon the truth that they preach. Upon that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And congregation, then it is a remarkable word that the Lord says, thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. Yes, many generations. What does that mean? Go back. Go back the same way as Adam and Eve were converted. We have to be converted. We have to be built upon that same foundation. But go back further. Go back to that sovereign good pleasure of God. That's where true conversion must flow from. In that eternal counsel of the Lord, where he was pleased to have a people chosen unto himself. And he shall bring them unto himself, that they shall live and praise him forever and forever. We must be a living stone placed upon that only foundation. And the minister cannot do it, but he is an instrument in the hands of the Lord to do so. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. In the past, look back and learn for the present. But now look at the future. Many generations to come. Oh, that temple lasted a long time, yes. But here we have in view that spiritual temple. That is that temple that shall be built in heaven forevermore. And so throughout the ages until the moment that the Savior comes on the clouds of heaven, many generations shall yet be built. Many shall receive that foundation in their heart and placed upon that only foundation. Does that not give hope, Lethbridge? Other congregations and office bearers. Does that not give a hope for the future? The Lord is not finished. The king is making haste. But the Lord still has people whom he will convert. For Zion must be built up. And furthermore, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. So that servant of the Lord that will build these whole waste old places will not only raise up the foundations, he will also be a repairer of the breach. And what is now the breach? That was a crack. And that crack could grow a little wider and wider and wider. And what was then the result? With that breach in the wall, or that breach in the walls of the temple, well, then the snakes, the serpents, they slither through. And soon there is room enough for the foxes and for the other beasts of prey to come inside. Robbers, enemies, and they all have but one aim, and that is to destroy the city of God. Come against the truth. Come against the children of God. Come against Christ, who rules in that city. Oh, and now that breach must be repaired. Congregation, what happens to the wall? When that breach occurs, then that wall does not hold itself together. Then that wall begins to totter. It begins to sag. And the longer it continues, and the less it is maintained or repaired, or that breach is healed, the less that takes place, the sooner will that wall be a complete ruin. Here a piece falls, and there a piece falls, and soon there is nothing left anymore. It is God's judgment. If the Lord leaves us over unto ourselves, then we can have a church building, and we can have an organization, and we can have someone on the pulpit to speak, and many activities, but no life. No life. And then we are left over unto ourselves. Congregation, that is an awful thing, is it not? That is a sore judgment. And you know how that happens. That happens if the Lord does not give a repairer of the breach. Because the enemies are relentless. And the repairer of the breach must then work continually. Ah, congregation, how does the Lord now do that? It is a task for God's servant, yes. Is there no example in the Bible? Certainly. Read it in Psalm 106. And that speaks about the time that the children of Israel had been delivered out of Egypt, led through the Red Sea, received many benefits, and were encamped at Mount Horeb, and they heard the Lord speaking His holy law. And then what took place? Moses had to come up in the mount. And the people, so impatient, went to Aaron and said, "Up and make us gods." And before long they had their golden calf and they were dancing around it all naked. That is now self-willed religion. And the Lord said that they had sinned a great sin, and that He would destroy them righteously. Ah, congregation, have you learned that already? Have you been witnesses? And then look not only to the congregation, look at your own heart and look at your own life. Congregation, must not God's anger wax hot against the many breaches that there are? What did Moses now do? He was God's chosen servant, and he stood before God in the breach. And he began to pray on behalf of that people, lest he would destroy them. You see the task of God's servants. Then they pray to God for you, for the breaches, against the sins, that the Lord will yet have mercy, and that the Lord will heal those breaches. Ah, congregation, that is what He shall do in secret. And that's what He must do also in public. But now much more, much richer, Because in the end, Moses is a powerless intercessor. And so your minister, he can bring the petitions before the Lord, but we need one greater than Moses. We need that only Savior, that interceding high priest at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, and what did he do? He came to this earth. And where did he stand? He went into that breach. And Moses sought to take away that wrath of God. But that is what that greater Moses does. He is truly the repairer of the breach. He shed his blood and made reconciliation for the sins of his people. And now to declare that greater repairer of the breach is the delight of God's servants. Then they desire to magnify Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, then they seek to portray him and place him in your midst. And that way, by that grace of Christ glorified in the heart, then the city is beautified again. Then the Lord repairs those breaches. Not our own beauty, people of God, but that is then the grace of Christ that beautifies that people. The restorer of paths to dwell in. What does that now mean? That is the third task that Isaiah is given to declare for one who has to build the old waste places. Thou shalt be called the restorer of paths to dwell in. The children of Israel could have known it, for it was declared in their history. Deborah sang in the time of the judges, in the days of Shamgar, the highways were unoccupied. And then the travelers went through the byways, and the villages were uninhabited. So then there were so many enemies and so many dangers. Then you could not safely travel on the road. You could not even live in the villages. For the robbers came and the enemies prevailed. And those days are then the days that the church's condition is in such a low estate. And congregation, what paths have we now chosen? You know what path we have chosen in paradise? That is the path away from God. Not the ways of peace, but the ways of warfare and enmity, of bitterness against the Lord, utter rebellion. Ah, congregation, then it is the task of God's servants to speak about those evil ways, the ways of lies and deceit, the ways of error altogether, the paths of wickedness, the path of evil, crooked paths you read in Isaiah 57 also. And then he must hold before you that we must ask for the old paths and dwell therein and find peace therein. He must proclaim unto you, this is the way and walk ye in it. Oh, then the Lord will give that blessed task unto his servants, that they must show you the way, lead you in the way, and guide you in the way. That is the way unto salvation. That is not a way departing from God, but a way of seeking God. That is the way of asking after the Lord. Oh, then it is a blessed task of God's children to be a restorer of the paths to dwell in. And congregation, that is then the way to God's house. That is then the way to God's children. That is then to walk in that narrow way through that straight gate. That is to walk upon the paths where the footsteps of the flocks show you the way. Then you can find the shepherd. It is now that way of holiness, upon which no lion nor ravenous beast shall be. They shall not come there, because it is a sure and it is such a safe way. And then when at last they shall come to that Zion, then sighing and sorrow shall altogether flee away. And though you are a fool, you shall not err therein. Then you shall be led and you shall be guided by that light of the Spirit and of God's holy words. It is a way here that lies through the wilderness, and it is a waste howling wilderness indeed. But it is a way in which the Lord shall care for His people. God's servants must show that way. God's servants must walk in that way and lead their flock. And you know for whom that now is? That is for a people that say continually, show me thy way and teach me thy paths and lead me in thy truth, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. You know what you shall then hear from the pulpit? Come join with me and bless Him all our days. Oh, that is the way that you shall have to go through depths, through the seas, through the furnace of those three young men, through the wilderness many times, it is true. But even if you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, then the Lord shall be with you. For the shepherd leads and He guides His people. His staff and His rod will then comfort you. And at last He shall bring you into that city which has habitations. We need to end, congregation. But I hope these are but a few things that your servant in the future shall receive the liberty and the unction to proclaim that in far greater measure. The time shall come, and who knows how soon, that there shall be no time anymore. Oh, and therefore, ask then that your minister has come for your profit, that there may be a foundation in your life, that you may also receive that repairing of the breach, and that you shall be restored in that only path that leadeth unto life eternal instead of leading to greater destruction. And children of God, may you now also beg that these things will happen in your life, and then begin at the first thing, that foundation. Oh, that the Lord gives those exercises to come to know that only foundation in your life. And that Christ Jesus is now that interceding high priest. And that He is now that way back unto the Father. Oh, then there shall be much to preach. And then you shall have much to beg. And then you shall have much to acknowledge the Lord for the blessings that the Lord shall give unto you. And then, brother, that is what we hope for you, that you may be given to build the old waste places here, that you raise up the foundations of many generations, and that you shall be employed as a repairer of the breach and a restorer of the paths to dwell in. That shall be to God's glory. That shall be to our Master's delight. That shall set forth the operation of the Holy Spirit and the comforts and the instructions that He provides His people. And then sinners shall be converted. There shall be joy in heaven and joy in your heart. So be it. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Lord, give us a humble and acknowledging heart. Wilt thou forgive all that is short? Wilt thou add what is thine? Lord, give a blessing upon it. Remember also the widows of thy servants, also the widow of one of the students. Our Lord, strengthen and bless them also. Be with us in the remainder, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 273. The stanzas 2, 4, and 5. The time for Zion's help is near, the time appointed in thy love. O let thy gracious aid appear, look thou in mercy from above. 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 273. Let us next read the form of ordination of the ministers of God's Word, which you can find in the back of the Psalter. Beloved brethren, it is known unto you that we have at 3 different times published the name of our brother, Peter Clare here present to learn whether any person had ought to offer concerning his doctrine or life, why he might not be ordained to the ministry of the word. And whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against this person, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to his ordination, for which purpose you, Peter Clare, and all those who are here present, shall first attend to a short declaration taken from the Word of God, touching the institution and the office of pastors and ministers of God's Word, where, in the first place, you are to observe that God our Heavenly Father, willing to call and gather a church from amongst the corrupt race of men unto life eternal, doth, by a particular mark of his favor, use the ministry of men therein. Therefore, Paul saith, that the Lord Jesus Christ hath given some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here we see that the holy apostle, among other things, saith that the pastoral office is an institution of Christ. What this holy office enjoins may easily be gathered from the very name itself. For as it is the duty of a common shepherd to feed, guide, protect, and rule the flock committed to his charge, so it is with regard to these spiritual shepherds who are set over the church, which God calleth unto salvation and counts as sheep of his pasture. The pasture with which these sheep are fed is nothing else but the preaching of the gospel, accompanied with prayer and the administration of the holy sacraments. The same word of God is likewise the staff with which the flock is guided and ruled. Consequently, it is evident that the office of pastors and ministers of God's word is, first, that they faithfully explain to their flock the word of the Lord, revealed by the writings of the prophets and the apostles, and apply the same as well in general as in particular to the edification of the hearers, instructing, admonishing, comforting, and reproving, according to everyone's need, preaching repentance towards God and reconciliation with him through faith in Christ, and refuting with the Holy Scriptures all schisms and heresies which are repugnant to the pure doctrine. All this is clearly signified to us in Holy Writ, for the Apostle Paul saith that these labor in the Word, and elsewhere he teacheth that this must be done according to the measure or rule of faith. He writes also that a pastor must hold fast and rightly divide the faithful and sincere word, which is according to the doctrine. Likewise, he that prophesieth, that is, preacheth God's word, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. In another place he proposes himself as a pattern to pastors, declaring that he hath publicly and from house to house taught and testified repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But particularly, we have a clear description of the office and ministers of God's Word. 2 Corinthians 5, the verses 18 through 20, where the apostle speaketh, thus speaketh, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, namely, to the apostles and pastors, the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Concerning the refutation of false doctrine, the same apostle saith that a minister must hold fast the faithful word of God, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Titus 1 verse 9. Secondly, it is the office of the ministers publicly to call upon the name of the Lord in behalf of the whole congregation. For that which the apostles say, we will give ourselves continually to pray and to the ministry of the word, is common to these pastors with the apostles, to which Paul alluding thus speaketh to Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2. Thirdly, their office is to administer the sacraments, which the Lord hath instituted as seals of his grace, as is evident from the command given by Christ to the apostles, and in them to all pastors, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Likewise, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, and so forth. Finally, it is the duty of ministers of the word to keep the church of God in good discipline and to govern it in such a manner as the Lord hath ordained. For Christ, having spoken of the Christian discipline, says to his apostles, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And Paul will have the ministers to know how to rule their own house, since they otherwise neither can provide for nor rule the church of God. This is the reason why the pastors are in Scripture called stewards of God, and bishops, that is, overseers and watchmen, for they have the oversight of the house of God, wherein they are conversant, to the end that everything may be transacted with good order and decency, and also to open and shut with the keys of the kingdom of heaven committed to them according to the charge given them by God. From these things may be learned what a glorious work the ministerial office is. since so great things are effected by it. Yea, how highly necessary it is for man's salvation, which is also the reason why the Lord will have such an office always to remain. For Christ said, when he sent forth his apostles to officiate in his holy function, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Where we see his pleasure is that his holy office, for the persons to whom he here speaketh could not live to the end of the world, should always be maintained on earth. And therefore Paul exhorteth Timothy to commit that which he had heard of him to faithful men who are able to teach others. And he also, having ordained Titus as a minister, further commanded him to ordain elders in every city. And now we request a candidate Clair to arise. For as much therefore as we, for the maintaining of this office in the Church of God, are now to ordain a new minister of the word, and having sufficiently spoken of the office of such persons, therefore you, Peter Clair, shall answer to the following questions, which shall be proposed to you to the end, that it may appear to all here present that you are inclined to accept of this office as above described. First, I ask thee whether thou feelest in thy heart that thou art lawfully called of God's church, and therefore of God himself to this holy ministry. Secondly, whether thou dost believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine unto salvation, and dost reject all doctrine repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether thou dost promise faithfully to discharge thy office according to the same doctrine as above described, and to adorn it with a godly life, also to submit thyself in case thou shouldest become delinquent either in life or doctrine to ecclesiastical admonition according to the public ordinance of the churches. What is your answer?
Yes, truly, with all my heart.
A congregation, we will ask the organist to begin playing, and after candidate Clair is up front, then I ask you to sing Psalter 10, the first stanza. And now we request the ministers who shall partake in the laying on of hands to come forward. God, our Heavenly Father, who hath called thee to this holy ministry, enlighten thee with his Holy Spirit, strengthen thee with his hand, and so govern thee in thy ministry, that thou mayest decently and fruitfully walk therein, to the glory of his name, and the propagation of the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Zo verscheen de Heere aan Abraham en zeide tot hem: Ik ben God de Almachtige, wandel voor mijn aangezicht en zijt oprecht.
And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect.
But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
And the God, and the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly.
Now we request the congregation to arise and to sing Psalter 436, the third stanza. And after we have finished it in English, we request the congregation, in as much as able, to sing it in Dutch. Dat zeer een zegen op u daal. First English, then Dutch, standing. friend and brother, Reverend P. Clyer. What a privilege is it that we have God's Word, that it comes unto us, that is His voice. What a privilege it is that we have the voice of the Church as it came unto us in the form which we have read. Then we need not add anything, and our words may be few. God's ways are incomprehensible. They are wondrous and they are adorable. You have experienced it. May the Lord further guide you and help you and strengthen you. May you ever be given to be near unto the Master. Then the task, as spoken by Isaiah, shall at times be heavy, and yet a delightful task, and a task that the Lord will also bless. We wish to thank you for your hard labors in the past 4 years especially. May the Lord further bless that and help you in your ministry. Mrs. Clyer, you have been called to be a help meet unto your husband, and hitherto you have done so. Also the last 4 years you have followed him in all these ways, and now it is again in the congregation of Lethbridge, not as a teacher, but now you are a minister's wife, and that also is a new position. What we wish most of all is that the ministry of your husband may be blessed unto your heart, and that you will be able to say not only my husband, but also my brother. Dan een aantal woorden in het Hollands voor de ouders van dominee Clyer over zee met familie daar. Maar ook voor de schoonouders en anderen van de familie die overgekomen zijn. Het is een bijzondere dag, waarvan je misschien niet zoveel hebt kunnen verstaan, een enkel woord hoop ik, maar dat de Heere dan toch de overdenking wilde schenken, dat dit duidelijk is: God gaat door met zijn werk. Hij vergadert zijn kerk, hij oefent zijn kerk, hij leidt zijn kerk door de woeste, huilende wildernis heen. En hij zal zijn kerk eenmaal boven brengen. En of we nu oud geworden zijn, of dat we nog jong zijn, zoek dan dat deel om de Heere te mogen dienen en vrezen. Een betere dienst is er niet te vinden. Brothers in the ministry, present, but also those that are not present, and we include, of course, the emeritus minister that we have in our midst. The Lord has given us another brother. May we be given all to stand for that doctrine according to godliness, shoulder to shoulder, and meet one another mostly at the throne of grace, that we may seek God's honor, the welfare of Zion, and the conversion of many sinners. A congregation, the Lord has been very mindful of you. We shall not repeat it. Those who have ears to hear will sense what the Lord has been saying, especially a little over the past year, but that you now may not expect new doctrines, new practices, but a building of the old wastes, and that you then may beg the Lord that it may be to your profit, carry him upon the wings of prayer, that he may be profitable unto your soul. Remember, the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever, and his truth endureth to all generations. People of God, that your minister may be used to instruct you, to found you, to show what is missing, to teach what has to be received, that he may be used as an instrument to declare those riddles unto your soul, for your profit in the soul, and for the welfare of Zion here below. Then there is the school with the school board, the school teachers, the students, and all those that labor therein. We do not want to pass you by. You have also now received another minister who will also speak to your welfare, instruction, and if necessary, correction. That now his ministry and the ministry of the other brothers here may be used especially, that there would be many converted school board members, converted teachers, and converted students. And then, brothers of the consistory, the Lord has given you a servant whose task it is to lead you. And may you now together be bound in prayer most of all, but bound by that truth to seek the welfare of this portion of Zion, that his instruction and leading may also be blessed unto your souls, and that his ministry may be blessed to your soul's welfare for the first time or by renewal. And so be it. Take heed therefore, beloved brother and fellow servant in Christ, unto thyself and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made thee overseer, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Love Christ and feed his sheep, taking the oversight of them, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage but as an example to the flock. Be an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon those things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thy doctrine, and continue steadfast therein. Bear patiently all sufferings and oppressions, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, thou shalt receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And likewise, beloved Christians, receive this your minister in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Remember that God himself through him speaketh unto you and beseecheth you. Receive the word which he, according to the scriptures, shall preach unto you, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Let the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things be beautiful and pleasant unto you. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. If you do these things, it shall come to pass that the peace of God shall enter into your houses, and that you who receive this man in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and through his preaching, believing in Christ, shall through Christ inherit life eternal. Since no man is of himself fit for any of these things, let us call upon God with thanksgiving and close the service. Merciful Father, we thank Thee that it pleaseth Thee by the ministry of men to gather a church to Thyself unto life eternal from amongst the lost children of men. We bless Thee for so graciously providing the church in this place with a faithful minister. We beseech Thee to qualify him daily more and more by the Holy Spirit for the ministry which Thou hast ordained and called him, and lighten his understanding to comprehend Thy holy word, and give him utterance that he may boldly open his mouth to make known and dispense the mysteries of the gospel, and do him with wisdom and valor to rule the people aright over which he is set, and to preserve them in Christian peace, to the end that Thy church under his administration and by his good example may increase in number and in virtue. Grant him courage to bear the difficulties and troubles which he may meet with in his ministry, that being strengthened by the comfort of Thy Spirit, he may remain steadfast to the end and be received with all faithful servants into the joy of his Master. Give Thy grace also to this people and church, that they may becomingly deport themselves towards this their minister, that they may acknowledge him to be sent of Thee, that they may receive his doctrine with all reverence and submit themselves to his exhortations, to the end that they may by his word, believing in Christ, be made partakers of eternal life. Hear us, O Father, through Thy beloved Son, who has taught us to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us now sing together Psalter 374, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5, 374, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5, O praise ye the name of Jehovah, proclaim ye his glory abroad, O praise him ye servants appointed, to stand in the house of our God. 1, 2, and 5. And now depart in peace. I receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.